Are you sitting there wondering how you can get ahead in your career? Well, if you do, and if you have ever wondered this, today's episode is for you. Myself and Pam Caldwell, who is my business partner and best friend, we have been in recruitment now for the last, well, for myself, 12 years, and for Pam, 17 years. And we have seen in that time a lot of people get promoted, but also some people stagnate and step sideways. And I'm always looking for trends and patterns. I'm always very curious as to why some people excel in their career and some people get stuck. So today we have written down the five top traits that we have seen these senior leaders, these senior executives all have, and how you can develop them yourself to accelerate in your career and take your life to the next level. So strap in. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. It's full, hopefully, of key takeaways and lots of value that you can implement today into your life, into your career. And make sure you reach out to me to let me know what your biggest takeaway was from today's episode. I look forward to hearing from you. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast. And I'm really excited about today's episode because I have the one and only Pamela Caldwell joining me today in the podcast studio. Pam, you know I love having you here. So good to have you back.
Well, I'm back and I'm back on this comfortable sofa. And you know that I love being here. I love these conversations. And I'm really excited about what we're actually going to be chatting about today as well. So...
Me too.
Here we go.
So as I'm sure most of you know, but if you're new here, I'll get you up to speed. So Pam and I have worked together now for almost, is it 10 years?
It's going to be exactly 10 years in August.
Wow. So let's just say 10 years. We always like to round up. So 10 years in August. And look, we've worked incredibly well together over those 10 years. We worked at a recruitment company for four of those. And then we started CH Talent Solutions, our recruitment company, 6 years ago. So we've been building that business now for the last 6 years. And then 2 years ago, we also started Sisterhood Club to make sure that the future of work was inclusive for all and really giving a voice to women in technology, because Pam and I are very passionate about making sure technology is inclusive and diverse. It is the future. All of the jobs are going to have some sort of technology component to it, which is why we want to make sure that we're breaking down those barriers and really sort of showcasing what a career in tech can look like and putting some amazing females on this podcast. So on that note, we are very big on identifying trends and patterns. And you've heard me say it multiple times, but success does leave clues. And I'm always really listening when I'm meeting incredible leaders, when I'm networking, when I'm interviewing people on this podcast. What are they saying? What words they're using, what language are they, how are they describing themselves? What journey have they been on? I'm trying to really understand, why do some people go on to have incredible careers and other people really find themselves struggling? And it's something I'm fascinated by. And I don't believe it's luck. I mean, yes, okay, sometimes luck can come into it, right? Obviously, growing up in a privileged household, right? You can't pick your parents, right? But we also don't want to use that for a reason for why we can't achieve what we want to achieve, right? We've all got stories. We've all got backgrounds. Yes, some people had it easier than others, but we can use our wounds as wisdom, right? So even if you come from
I like that.
Oh, there we go.
Let's let that land.
You can use your wounds for wisdom, right? So even if you come from a really challenging background, you've had a tough upbringing, I still believe that you can make it. I really fundamentally do. But you have to really take responsibility. You have to know that no one's coming to save you, and you have to keep working yourself every single day and really try and surround yourself with a support network of people. So today we want to talk about, what are these five common trends, traits, characteristics that we see really successful? When I mean successful, I don't just mean financial success. I mean, these women are happy, they're healthy, they've got good relationships, they've got good family lives, they're feeling fulfilled in their work, that's success to me, not how much money you've got, what car you drive and where you live, right? So success in those terms. What do these women do? That's what we want to talk about today. And what are the trends and the patterns? And the first one for me, and I know Pam and I, we talk about this a lot, is a lot of these women and men that we speak to, any sort of leader, they really do have high levels of emotional intelligence. They've got really good soft skills, which I believe should be called critical skills, or as someone said to me the other day, power skills. But let's just talk to that, Pam, because I know this is something that you and I work on a lot. One of my soft skills that I am constantly working on is my communication, my listening skills. I love a chat.
Yep.
Right? So I'm really trying to listen because I know when I listen, I learn. Empathy, right? I'm really trying to work on seeing it from other people's perspectives, not just expecting people just to kind of, you know, get on board with what I want to go, where I want to go, like understanding why does that person feel that way? Why does that person think that way? I'm really trying to work on that because I know that's something that's held me back in the past. But what do you think, Pam? What have you noticed when you sort of met with loads of women?
Yeah, look, I think let's just go back to the start when we're talking about success. And I do think that it is important to define what success looks like to you. Mm-hmm. We all have different pillars in our lives that are of varying degrees of importance at any one time. And that does evolve and change. But if I actually think about the women that we have had the pleasure of really actually getting to know on a different level, I have walked away with a sense of she knows exactly what the four pillars are of her life, and she knows the order of priority. She knows what she wants to achieve in each pillar. And therefore, you have a strong sense of your values and how they're aligned. And that in turn allows you to make incredible decisions, regardless of what it is. Decisions based on career, decisions based on marriage, decisions based on family, young children, health and fitness. They have a strong sense of who they are, what success means to them, and what their core values are. And I think like that's really important for us all to get to know, because then it enables you to make good decisions. It enables you to make good choices, and it enables you to move forward in the right direction, regardless of what pillar it is that we're talking about. So that's one thing that I've absolutely noticed is really critical. So that's a success and defining success aspect of it. When it comes to the EQ, absolutely. There's definitely an element of awareness. It's like an elevated sense of understanding that I think that these really senior women that I've got to know in leadership, they can read a room.
Yes.
They do actively listen. They understand their people, and that each individual has different needs, but they know how to cater to those. So that adaptability, which is almost something that you can really properly define sometimes. But I think definitely that adaptability piece, the self-awareness piece, and the ability to read a room is something that I feel that the women in leadership they've absolutely nailed. Would you be able to relate to that?
Absolutely. And you said something that gets spoken about a lot on this podcast, it's self-awareness. High levels of self-awareness, absolutely critical, right? Like and as well, the ability to self-regulate, right? So if you're coming into the office or you're jumping onto a Teams link, right? And you've had a stressful morning, and again, you probably be able to relate to this right now.
I'm laughing at self-regulation because sometimes I get it so wrong in my own home.
Right, but again,
but yeah, powerful. You've
only got so much patience, right? Let's be honest, right? We're all trying to do the best that we can, but I'm not a particularly patient person, right? So I might have a morning where things haven't quite gone the way I would love them to have gone.
Ted ran in the house with his sandy
right,
paws.
Correct. You know, my husband's just let my dog run into the house. He's got wet paws everywhere. I'm having to get the mop out. I mean,
the whole day's thrown off.
Everything's a disaster. He's jumped on my couch. I'm not in a good place. But I'll have my moment. And then I will have a word with myself, right? It's been and gone now. Move on. You've got a Zoom call in 10 minutes. Time to bring it. Time to regulate. Time to just readjust, refocus, and self-regulate. That is absolutely crucial. I've noticed that a lot of these incredible leaders and career professionals, again, have high levels of self-awareness and also can self-regulate. So they do not bring their personal issues to a work setting, or they don't take their frustrations out in a work setting on their employees, on their staff, on their team, on their, you know, other leaders in the business. They understand that, okay, maybe I'm not feeling my best self today. Mm. They honor that, right? Because everyone has bad days, good days. We're human beings. We've all got emotions. We've all got stuff to deal with inside and outside of work. But they also understand that, do you know what? I'm the leader of this business, or I'm the leader of this team. It's really important that I show up as the best version of me. And if I'm having a challenging time, I can be vulnerable. I can be open about what's going on in the business, in my life, and I can share my concerns. But I do it from a place of very high levels of emotional intelligence, self-awareness. I read the room. And I'm really actively listening to what other people have got to say. And I'm not leading with fear. I'm leading with that sort of real praise mentality as well. So yeah, I think absolutely this EQ word gets thrown around a lot. But one book that I read recently that was fantastic was Optimal by Daniel Goldman. Mm-hmm. He's the founder of like the whole emotional intelligence piece. And it was amazing. But ultimately, the whole concept is that leadership now is all about EQ, not IQ. That is a fact, right? And yes, okay, good, high IQ will get you so far. But if you want to step up into a leadership position, this is where you really need to work on your emotional intelligence, because I don't know many leaders, really good leaders, that don't have this skill. So like you said, adaptability, critical thinking, empathy, self-awareness, self-regulation, all of these soft skills are now becoming more and more increasingly critical skills. And there's not a week that goes by that we don't get asked for these types of skills. And you look at all of the job briefs now, when you read them, I think there was a study done actually by Harvard. I'll have to find the study and put it in the show notes. But basically, they looked at all the job ads over the last decade of leadership roles, and more and more and more of these EQ, these traits are being put in job ads now. So now businesses are putting more weight into this. They're not just seeing it as a nice to have, they're seeing it as an absolute essential. So if you're somebody that wants to step up into a leadership role, get ahead in your career, again, do not neglect these soft skills. They are critical skills. And if you really want to excel in your career, you need to work on them.
Yeah, look, I would completely agree. And I think that if you as an individual maybe acknowledge, say, a few softer skills that you think, or critical skills that you feel that you really need to work on, for example, like self-awareness, active listening, compassion, pick your top three, and you don't have to go away and start studying all sorts of courses as to how to grow and evolve in those areas. Actually think about how you can work on those in your day-to-day life. So when you go home from work, if you want to actually work on your active listening, you can maybe sit at the dinner table with your family and think, right, tonight I'm maybe going to field a few questions just to get the chat flowing, but then I am going to really practice my active listening skills and practice listening actively, and then tailoring your next question using the information that the family around the dinner table have just given you. So there are ways that you can really evolve naturally your EQ on a day-to-day basis. You don't have to go away and, you know, get a degree in EQ. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Your EQ will evolve naturally over time if you pay attention to the areas that you have to develop, but actually make sure that you're intentional about practicing that on your day-to-day situations. And I think EQ can really evolve as we mature. Mm-hmm. As well. So definitely start with identifying it, but really start implementing some practices into your daily, you know, schedule to make sure that you are really trying to pursue getting better, because that is what's going to set you apart from being a good leader or a great leader.
I completely agree. And just a couple of things that I do on a regular basis to help myself with this is journaling every day, sort of asking myself the questions of, you know, what went well today? What am I winning at? What could I have done better today? And just really reflecting each day on how I've been. I do this practice every single day. And just the power of the pause, just pausing throughout the day, checking in with myself. How am I feeling? Where's my energy at? Where's my state? How am I showing up? And if I'm feeling particularly reactive for whatever reason, normally it's a hormonal situation, I will pause more intentionally throughout the day. And yeah. just make sure that I'm not sort of giving off this energy to the people around me and just being really, really intentional with how, again, I'm showing up. But high levels like you, number one, they all have it. All the great leaders that I'm speaking with and you're speaking with mm-hmm. and we're constantly sort of hearing about have got this. The second point that I want to make is they are all very curious by nature. They ask questions. They're problem solvers. They don't just sort of take something and go, oh yeah, that we'll just do that. They're always thinking, hang on, is there a better way to approach this? Like, okay, what we've done in the past isn't going to work in the future. What's coming? Right, artificial intelligence. Are we across this? Are we making sure that we're aware of what's happening over there in the UK market, in the American market, in the China market? Like, they're open. They're not just pigeonholed in, this is my role, this is what I do. They're constantly learning and looking around at patterns and trends of what's coming and what could disrupt this industry, what could disrupt this business, what could put me out of a job. They're always asking these types of questions to make sure they're staying ahead in their industry. That's been an absolute key point that I've been picking up on throughout the podcast.
Absolutely. And I think this is one that can be quite easy to learn and develop on, in actual fact. So if you feel like you're maybe not the type of person that is a natural question asker, or questions don't come naturally to you, you're sitting thinking, oh my God, I just sit and listen in meetings and I have to go away and really absorb, and I would have to sit and think about what questions do I want to ask. Now, that is something that I would recommend that you can do a course on. Definitely, there's different types of questions that you can ask. There's different leading questions that you can ask, like, you know, needs analysis type questions. You know, questions, being a good question asker is actually a skill that can really be worked on. So that's one that I would actually recommend that you do actually allocate a little bit of classroom study to. And that can be from all sorts of online courses like Try Udemy or something. It doesn't have to be like a really well-defined type course. Anything online, you would be able to really research about how you can frame out your questions. So just even some leading things like, tell me more. Try to think about what ways could I find out more about what that person has just discussed. So when it comes to being curious, that is a skill that I would actually recommend that you do a little bit of classroom-based study on to build up your confidence to be able to become more outwardly curious when you are in a work setting, when you are listening to your colleagues speaking, you know, when you are at round tables. Do not underestimate the power that curiosity can have to open up doors and open up your mindset and learning new perspectives, learning new opinions. So get better at asking questions. And when you build up that skill, you will naturally become a lot more of a curious individual.
Completely agree. And this kind of leads quite nicely into the third trait that I've noticed a lot right now, is a lot of these senior leaders have and career professionals start things before they feel really ready. And I think especially as women, we normally wait for permission. We wait to get the tap on the shoulder. We wait for the validation. We're waiting. We're constantly waiting. And I'm saying, stop waiting. Act. Go put yourself into these uncomfortable positions before you feel ready, because the reality is you will never feel ready. I didn't feel ready to start the business. I didn't feel ready to start this podcast. I didn't feel ready to run events. I didn't feel ready to speak the other day when we were doing that presentation at UniSuper and 7-Eleven. I never say to myself, I'm 100% ready for this. I'm always pushing myself outside of my comfort zone before I feel ready, because I know from doing this time and time again that if I wait until the fear's not there or I feel confident enough, that day will never ever come. And I will delay and delay and delay and say someday, one day, that day's never going to come. So we've got to get better at identifying our fears, unpacking our fears, and understanding that over the other side of that fear is freedom. And that's really, really powerful. And that's been something that I know we have worked on. And a lot of the amazing women that I've spoken to have worked on. these women weren't ready. They weren't ready for that promotion. They weren't ready to step up in their career. They weren't ready to lead that team. They weren't ready to step on stage, but they did it. And from doing it, they started to back themselves. They started to build the confidence. And the first and foremost comes the courage. And I actually want, can you tell your story? Because I think it's so powerful. Like, obviously,
God, what one?
The one that obviously about UniSuper when we went in and we did that presentation, because you were so nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, absolutely. I think that I've actually been a victim of waiting quite a lot in my career. And I wish that someone would have told me when I was in my 20s to be unapologetic, right? I'm going to go right back, right? I am a fantastic employee. Someone tells me what to do, I will go away and I will do it, and I will do it with absolute excellence. I'll do it to the best of my capabilities and I will excel. But in my 20s and in my early 30s, I was the kind of person that waited. I thought if I put my head down, ass up in the air and executed, I would get tapped on the shoulder, I would get a pay rise and I would get the promotion. I'm still waiting, right? You have got to put yourself out there. You have got to be visible and you have got to vocalize exactly what it is that you want. So I have made a ton of mistakes, right? But to go on to your point about me actually building up the confidence to actually speak and do a presentation at UniSuper, who are our Sisterhood Club major sponsor last week. That was a huge moment for me. I was incredibly nervous. The week leading up to that, I was dreaming about it. It was constantly in my mind. I was experiencing severe imposter syndrome. I was thinking, what have I got to say to these women who are already achieving great things in their career? Some of these women have got 5-10 years on me. What am I going to bring to the table that they don't already know? Is this going to be of value? You name it, I thought it. And every single thought that could have put me off standing up in front of that room was going through my mind. So I was very worried about that. And people that know me from the outside in would look at me and think that that was something that I wouldn't experience, because I am vocal. I am probably a larger extroverted personality, but I do experience these things. So I was so nervous before I did that, and I really had to push myself outside my comfort zone. But Georgie and I did actually have a chat about it, and I have got a massive fear, or I'm going to say had a massive fear, because now I've done it, I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. But I honestly linked it back to school. The last time that I did any sort of public speaking on a platform was in higher English, and I had to do a keynote speech. But back then you were not allowed notes. You had to just memorize what it was you wanted to say. And I stood up in front of my English class, probably a couple of boys in the class that you fancy at the time, you know, you're just, so cringe, isn't it? Yeah. Right. School, there's just so much trauma that could be uncovered from high school. My knees were knocking. My palms were sweaty. Mm. I started seeing spots. Oh, and that is a feeling that I can feel it. I can feel the feeling right now. It was so horrible. And from then I've never stood up in front of a room of people ever again until last week. So that was a huge moment for me last week. But do you know what I knew I had to do in order to make myself comfortable? Have a couple of cue cards with a couple of key points to ensure that if I saw those spots and I felt like I was going to blank out again, that would bring me back to the present. But I had them there. They made me feel comfortable. Once I found my flow, it was so enjoyable. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. The room of women were just so welcoming. I felt safe. They brought the best versions of themselves there. And I genuinely felt when I walked in the room, you know, I know these women are going to be so receptive to what it is that I'm here to speak about today. And they were. And it was so powerful. It was a huge moment for me and a huge turning point. But I absolutely did force myself to do something that I completely did not feel ready for. And as a result, when it came to the event the following week, and I was sitting on the panel, again, that's something that I would usually get sweaty palms about, I was actually just able to really, really bloody enjoy that night. And that was amazing. Just not having the nerves that I would usually have. And I felt as though I was able to just add a little bit more value, you know, when I was sitting on the panel, because I was able to just really tune into what the panelists were telling us. So starting before you're ready is absolutely, it is key. You need to throw your hat in the ring. You need to back yourself. You need to have the confidence that you can execute. Go for it and shoot for the stars.
It's such a beautiful story. And I've honestly got to say that I was just so, so proud of you when I was just sort of like still on the sideways. Obviously, we're both sort of like had our slides and points to talk about. And I just had a moment where I was just so proud because I thought it's one thing talking a good talk, right? Like we do this podcast, we're encouraging women to step outside their comfort zone. It's like, it would be really inauthentic for us if we didn't do these things. And that's why I was like, here you are, walking, talking proof that you can step outside your comfort zone and this is what it looks like. And I think that's something that I feel that is really important, that we keep staying aligned and in alignment with our values and our teachings as well, because otherwise it's like we are imposters. If we're just constantly saying to women on this podcast, sitting on these comfy sofas, push yourself, do hard things, if we're not doing ourselves. So that was a really key moment for me when you did that. And I was so proud. And you're right, because, and you said something really important there, because you said, because you'd push yourself out of your comfort zone, the next time you did something, you didn't feel as nervous. And this is what tends to happen. And the only reason why I don't get as nervous is because I did Toastmasters all those years ago. So I've learned, I still get nervous, but I've learned to really channel those nerves in a positive way, to be like, this is excitement. I just reframe it. This is excitement. This is me doing something slightly uncomfortable. Imagine the growth that's going to come from this. How am I going to feel afterwards? Because anytime I'm doing something that feels a bit unfamiliar, I know the other side of that is excitement, feeling proud, joy, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of achievement, and also impact. Think about the women in that room that we got to impact that day and help in some way. And even if they took one thing away from our presentation, that makes you feel good as well. So I think something like service is really important to myself, and I know it is for you. And I just always want to make sure that we're giving back. And the only way we can do that if it's we're constantly getting better. But that leads me on to point number four that I think is a really important trait that I notice a lot. And that is the ability to silence your inner critic. In those moments where you're nervous and you are thinking, what will people think of me? And what if I stuff this up? And I'm not ready and I'm not good enough. And all of these things that go through our mind, it's just acknowledging that. It's like, oh yeah, they're giving it a name. Like I remember Catherine, the conversation we had with her, she calls her inner critic, Kirsty. Oh, there's big Kirsty again. She's showing up to keep me small and to stop me from living up to my true potential. And whenever you and I have in a moment, we call each other like Sue 1 and 2. It's like, oh, we're just having a Sue moment. Like, and it's
sorry of your name, Sue, yeah, nothing personal. I know. We just picked a name.
We just picked a name. And it's like, you know, we're just having a bit of a moment where we're doubting ourselves, or perhaps we're not showing up the way we want to show up. And we're only humans, right? Everyone goes through this. But it is so important to become aware of your thoughts so you can challenge them, because they are not real. They are not facts. They are just honestly things that you've made up in your mind that are just completely false. And you just need to acknowledge them, smile at them, and silence them. And that is a skill. And it takes time to develop that. But every single woman that I've met that's really gone on to achieve incredible things in her career has got the ability to do this, to just not listen to that inner voice, to be like, that's always going to be there. Thank you, brain, for trying to protect me, right? Because that is our natural instinct. You know, our brains haven't evolved to this modern world that we're living in, right? We're now not going to be chased down the street by a tiger or some kind of like, you know, scary monster, but it could be our boss. It could be a coworker. It could be somebody in traffic cutting us off, right? Or it could be a scary presentation that we're trying to do. This constantly, our brain is like seeing the world from a quite a negative point of view and a fearful point of view. And it's our jobs to identify that, but also make sure that it doesn't hold us back. So silencing your inner critic, acknowledging that you're not always going to feel ready. You're not always going to feel positive and confident, but if you can move past that and overcome it, you are going to experience so many breakthroughs, so many good things are going to come your way, so many more opportunities, you're going to feel more confident. So be aware of your inner critic. We've all got her, and make sure that she doesn't rule the roost.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with everything that you've said there. Do not let your inner critic keep you small. Remember and dream big, and remember and push yourself to do things that you just don't feel ready for. Mm-hmm. So just start. But you have to execute.
Yes.
You have to start. That's the hardest part. Starting is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you begin, you are ready. You have to be. There is no turning back. Mm-hmm. So pushing yourself to hit goal and starting, mm-hmm. that is the beginning. And then you will learn and you will grow and you will succeed, but you have got to start.
There's a really good analogy that I heard the other day, and it talks about a rocket ship and how when that rocket ship is going up in the air, it uses the most fuel and the most energy it will ever. It's trying to break through the atmosphere of the earth. But then once it breaks through the atmosphere of the earth, it just cruises. And that's kind of how I feel of like about your inner critic and personal development and growth. It is so uncomfortable in the beginning and it can be a little bit daunting in the middle. But once you break through the other side of it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. So if you're in this moment right now, this moment in your career, or you're in this maybe slightly difficult, challenging place, know that the start of anything is the hardest. But once that ship's in motion, once that rocket ship has taken off, it does become easier. And it's never like constantly smooth sailing, right?
No.
There's always going to be bumps in the road. There's always going to be things. But the difference being is that you've got the wisdom and the things, you've equipped yourself with more tools. So these obstacles and these challenges that come up, you're more equipped to deal with them because you've learned from that initial, I guess, starting point where you were really in the grind, where you were really at the beginning, and you've gradually sort of got yourself, you've gained more wisdom, you've gained more knowledge, you've gained more tools. So even though challenges still come up, you deal with them in a lot more of a more calmer, more present, just a different way about you. You just sort of, yeah, like have more wisdom and more knowledge on your shoulders just to go, oh, okay, hang on a minute. I've dealt with this a few years back. I'm still here. I can do this again. But yeah, just think about that rocket ship when you're starting anything new and you're sort of trying to sort of build your career or a business, whatever. It's the most energy to get it started, and then it will start to become easier mm-hmm. the more you do things and the more times you push yourself out of your comfort zone to do these hard things. But finally, the final point that I noticed that a lot of these career professionals do, and leaders and business, successful people in business, they never stop investing in themselves. And I do harp on about this a lot, but I think it is just really, really important, because I know that had I not invested in my own growth over the years, and had you not invested in your own growth over the years, there is no way we would be where we are today. Mm. Just no way. Like any opportunity I get, I'm listening to a podcast, I'm reading a book. I'm just constantly curious and learning new skills, acquiring new skills, acquiring new knowledge. I think it is just so important in this day and age to just keep on working on yourself, because we've been through some ups and downs in our business. There's no denying that.
Did you see a few?
Had we not got the tools,
yeah.
right? There's no way we would still be in business.
No, absolutely not. And I think learning and investing in yourself as well, it's like, what does it mean to you? Mm-hmm. Like, again, it doesn't need to be sitting down and doing a course. I, for example, I'm a big advocate of listening to podcasts.
Yes.
I can do that on the go. I can do mm-hmm. it whilst I'm folding my washing. I can mm-hmm. do it whilst I'm out a walk. I can do it on my downtime. That's how I digest information. Yeah. If you want to sort of learn new perspectives, listening to different people's journeys, what can you take away from that? But again, I think learning and development, you could almost closely correlate that with pushing yourself out your comfort zone. Yeah. Again, there was probably a period in my life where recruitment was easy and it was my chosen route because I was good at it, but I was at the risk of getting incredibly bored because mm-hmm. I wasn't doing anything new. I wasn't pushing myself out of my comfort zone. It was just the same old same. It suited me at that particular point in my life because I was a new mum, and I think if I would have thrown anything else into that bucket, I would have, you know, been having panic attacks on the daily. But my point being is, when you feel that you're about to get bored, you feel stagnant, you feel, I can do this with my eyes closed, that's when you need to acknowledge that. You need to lift your head up and think, right, what's next? What is next? Keep moving forward. Like, these are our years. Think about how you know, if you're sitting in your rocking chair when you're in your, I'm going to say your 90s, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in your 90s, you're sitting in your rocking chair and you're looking back, think about your career as something you can play around with, something that you can have fun with, something that you can really push yourself to try new things, learn new things. Just go for it. Like, who cares if you drop the ball? Who cares if you stand up and you forget what you were going to say in a presentation? Let's not take it too seriously either. Let's have fun with it. Let's enjoy it. I think sometimes we can get caught up and think that everything to do with career has got to be so serious and so perfect and we need to know everything. No, we don't. We don't. Let's just constantly learn. Don't let yourself get bored. Try new things. Push yourself outside your comfort zone and have fun with it. I think that's honestly so key.
Definitely have fun. And I think that that's probably why we have remained amazing friends and also had, you know, a real, yes, there's been many ups and downs, but there honestly hasn't been a day in the last 6 years where we haven't laughed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one or two. No, but really.
Sometimes yeah. Our own misfortune.
It is.
But we don't. We make sure that we know that this is not life or death. Right? Like, we don't want to look back on this time and be like, oh God, what a grind that was. What a chore that was. Like, I generally still wake up every single day excited.
Yeah.
And I think that that is absolutely key. And again, going back to the whole, like, people having success as well, it's like, I think that they do have, they've got good energy. And I think you can have good energy when you're happy, when you're really feel more joyful, you're more creative. And I think that's the thing. It's like, don't take yourself or your career too seriously as well. Like, yeah. You know, it's an important part of our life, but it's not our whole life. It doesn't need to be our whole identity. And I think I used to tie a lot of my sense of worth into my career and my job title. Nowadays I go, right, I really want to excel. I really want to show up as the best version of me. I really want to do a good job for my clients, for my candidates, for my team. But I also don't want to lose myself in the process. And I want to make sure that I'm resting and recharging and being true to who I am. And I think that that's what key leaders do, is that they know who they are. They make sure they do rest and recharge. They make sure they do bring themselves, their best versions of themselves to work. They do have other priorities outside of work, which then means that they can show up at work as the best version of them. I think that's absolutely key as well.
I absolutely agree. And like, honestly, we have been through some really tricky times over the past 6 years. There's absolutely no denying that. But we have remained light and breezy. Light and breezy. Yeah. And we have aimed to bring humor into some of the toughest of times. And I think like that is a key thing, like try and remain as thin-skinned as you possibly can throughout your career as well. And I know it's easier said than done. And when you're in really extreme pressurized conditions or something's really stressful, it can be hard to remain light and breezy. But just honestly, I just think there's something to be said for not taking yourself too seriously and just be able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah,
that it honestly, it's such a powerful thing. It encourages you to not take yourself too seriously, which enables you to really be able to take more risks, because then if you fall down, you're like, right, okay. Dusting yourself off becomes a little bit easier as well. And just, you know, one thing that I actually just thought about, which really is not serious, but can you remember that time we went on that meeting and we were just about to walk in and I tripped up the last stair and I fell flat on my face? Honestly, I could have been so embarrassed about that, but I was in absolute kinks of laughter. I couldn't breathe.
It
was like a room full of guys, like male software devs, and they were all just staring at me and I was just laughing away. It's, you know, just, try. Honestly, I just think, let's just try and not take our careers too seriously. Like, just be really intentional about it, but have fun with it, play around with it and try new things. It's not an area of your life that should get stagnant and boring.
100%. And just keep that perspective always. If you are having a tough time right now, it's a chapter. It's not your story. You know, everyone goes through seasons of life, right? Life isn't linear. It's up, down. That's life. That's the journey. We need to honor those moments, surrender to those tough times. Think about the lessons that we could be learning through those times. I know it's easier said than done, right? But I think you and I have been through some really tough times, especially in the last 12 months. And I'm really proud, I guess, of how we've shown up. And that's because of all the things we've spoken about today. High levels of EQ, showing up with intention, constantly investing in ourselves, silencing our inner critics. Like, these are things that we do all the time. And it's also what I notice all of the senior leaders and all of the incredible women that I've met who run their own businesses do as well. So that is today's episode. episode. As always, Pam and I love it when we hear from you. So please reach out. Please send us a message on Instagram or LinkedIn, wherever you hang out the most. And the biggest gift you can give Pam and I, if you do enjoy these episodes, is to leave us a review or hit the subscribe button. Give us a little rating. It honestly means the absolute world to us. We are trying to make these podcasts as educational and joyful, as inspirational as possible. So we'd love to hear your feedback as well. But Pam, great to have you back on the mic, and looking forward to the next one with you.
Absolutely. Well, I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that, and I can't wait to share the next episode with you.